This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. You can find us wherever podcasts are. You can find us on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on iTunes, Google Play, all over the place. And make sure you reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter and all the social media platforms. Tonight, I am hosting a panel of two men who both have very strong feelings about money and politics and the dangers of having basically what we have is an oligarchy instead of a democracy. So I have would like to introduce Chris Crapello. Is that how I pronounce your last name?
Oh, yeah, Crapello. You got it.
And you're from, where were you from, Chris?
Hillsboro, New Jersey.
And we also have Dr. Steve Fenichel. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And you are running down here in Congressional District 2 against the Norcross-backed Jeff Van Drew and the white nationalist of Seth Grossman.
Yeah. Isn't it colossal?
All right. So let's start off. I'll ask you both the same question to start off of what do you feel are the effects of having big money in politics? Does anyone want to go first?
I'll let the congressional candidate handle that one first. Go right ahead.
All right. Go ahead, Dr. Fenichel.
What is the effect of big money in politics is your question.
Yep,
is that right?
The first question. Yep.
Right. Well, it's all-encompassing, the effects of big money in politics, from denying us health care as a human right to giving us the largest military budget we have, $718 billion. It's all on the basis of lobbyists serving their corporate masters. And it's something that is really a fatal poison in our democracy, I believe. There isn't one thing, basically, that is of major concern to the citizens that isn't waylaid, whether it's clean air, you know, safety and food. It's all the big corporations that have an interest to doing the opposite of what the regulatory mechanisms are supposed to do to be protecting Americans all over the place.
All right. And Chris, do you have something you'd like to add to that?
I mean, that's he just basically said everything that's been on my mind for the last decade or so. What it really boils down to is that there isn't a single thing we are going to be able to do in good measure on any of the major issues we face as a society, so long as our democratic process by which, you know, we the people have the freedom to determine the direction of our society, so long as that process is completely subverted by big money interests and their ability to buy the influence over that process, we can't do anything, and nothing will happen for we the people by and large. And I think it's been such a challenge really to get people to realize this, but I'm happy to see that more and more people are waking up to that concept and not seeing it so much as a paralysis, but more as a call to action.
Well, that is what I'd like to get into next is what kind of actions can we, I know people feel very discouraged, like what can I possibly do? Can I change this? Is there any point even in doing anything? So I'd like to know what kind of actions you guys think that would be a good start to help getting all of this dirty money out of politics. Let's start with you, Chris.
The way I started is by finding two really great grassroots, national grassroots organizations. One is called Move to Amend. They are working on passing the, I believe it would be the 27th constitutional amendment, 27th to 28th. But by and large, the amendment says two things. Corporations are not people. and money is not speech. I would even go a third, add a third clause into it and say that the individual right to vote shall not be infringed. But Move to Amend is a great place to start. And another organization that I joined is called Represent Us. And they are working to pass on the local level what's known as the American Anti-Corruption Act. It's a five-part piece of model legislation that essentially does three major things. It ends gerrymandering, it places strict limits on lobbying, and it slams shut the door, the revolving door of regulators and their corporate interests that they're supposed to be regulating. Another great thing that I can recommend to people is to actually, and this is another route that I went, is to get involved inside of a major party and try to kind of change it from within. Obviously, you know, Dr. Fenichel, you're going a different route and running as a third party, which is noble in and of itself. I think that, you know, if people were to kind of stand up and I think join the local Democratic Party and become a committee, a county committee person, get a vote inside of the party, then come primary time, you're the one that actually gets to have a vote and gets to have a say in deciding the platform, deciding which candidates actually get put through to the general. That's essentially exactly how the Tea Party took over the Republican Party. Granted, they were all backed by massive Coke money, but at the same time, the process was the same. It was tons of people. It was, you know, 15 to 20 of your Tea Party friends going down to the local Republican Party, taking it over and putting up your own candidates that you wanted to see. So that's, you know, three ways I think that an individual who's feeling hopeless, who's feeling like they're just kind of spinning their wheels, can do it is find a grassroots organization like Move to Amend or like Represent Us. They're both nonpartisan. They're both fantastic. Or get inside of a party and try to change it from within.
All right. Well, obviously I have a differing opinion about the Democratic Party because I think they're beyond redemption is why I left a few years ago. And I know Dr. Fenichel also has some differing opinions, but do you want to talk about some of your possible solutions, Steve?
I really respect what Chris has to say. He's a very well thought out young man, and it's really good to know that the torch will not be extinguished when the old farts like myself are no longer on the scene. Yes, in fact, I was a Democratic committee man for the Cape May County Democrats, and I was doing that to help further the progressive candidates, but that was the problem. There were four of them. And basically, it boiled down to a candidate, the Democratic nominee, Jeff Van Drew, who had $600,000 in his campaign war chest. And that's what led to a unified effort in all the Democratic county committees to unanimously endorse Jeff Van Drew. I am running to do what I can to educate about this important issue. Every opportunity I get, I do bring it up. And I've been very connected with an incredible young man who was recently seen in the movie Dark Money. I don't know if you saw that, Chris or Heather. But it's about dark money in the political system. And my friend is Paul Seamus Ryan, who is the talking head of in that movie representing Common Cause. And he is incredible. Years ago, I wanted in 2003... I ran as an independent for Senate, state Senate, against a candidate who was a Republican. And at that time, my issues were the need for clean money campaign finance reform in order to get to my true passion, which is healthcare as a human right for all. And I got on the internet and I found an organization in Los Angeles called Campaign Legal Center. And there I talked to Paul Seamus Ryan, who worked as a lawyer there at that time. And when he heard what I wanted to do in bringing about a clean money ordinance in my municipality of Ocean City, he said, I want to meet with you. I'll fly out. I said, no, I don't have the money to bring you out. He said, not to worry. My organization will bring me out. And he was flown out about three times, and we created the most beautiful, it was like a sacred document, our Ocean City Municipal Clean Money Campaign Finance Reform Ordinance. Of course, our city government saw it as something they had to fight tooth and nail, because one of the major points in it would be anyone who qualified for a municipal office would have clean next to their name on the ballot. And to a lot of the people that weren't going to be running clean and had no interest in running clean, they had to stop the stick. And it was an incredible experience. And I think it's gotten a little more sophisticated now with a lot of things that Common Cause is bringing up about citizens having to get vouchers to give public monies to candidates. I mean, they're really spreading their wings with some incredibly creative ideas. And of course, I think the elephant in the room is we've got to get the decision that doesn't allow any limitations on so-called free speech with campaign contributions. The case I'm referring to, which I'm temporarily blocking,
the Susan case.
And that's the one that has to go. And that seems like something that people should really resonate with, because it really is an obscenity. Just as you mentioned, Chris, about, you know, attributing human qualities to corporations, thereby granting them unlimited rights to give money. It's insanity. So,
what would you think about an idea like that, Chris, actually having something on the ballot signifying this person did not take any corporate money?
I would love to see that on the local level. I think that you need legislation, local, county, state, federal. You have to do everything and anything and everything to return the power and the influence over all levels of government to the voters rather than the checkbooks of donors. Because inevitably, the people with the more wealth and therefore the more power will ultimately use that wealth and power to consolidate even more wealth and power. It's inevitable. That's happened at every stage in human civilization, and it's no different today. I applaud that effort. In fact, I would love for you to send it to me because in that ordinance, because I would love to propose something like that up here in Hillsborough, if possible, with our own township committee candidates. I like that idea. I like what Seattle was doing, as you alluded to, with the campaign voucher program. I think we should be moving towards even sort of different pieces of voting legislation, ranked choice voting, which would allow third party candidates to have a greater voice and a greater shot, and ultimately greater representation. And there is just a whole bevy of pro-democracy things that we need to and should be doing. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind, is that it's pro-democracy. It's pro that one core essential freedom that everything else about our society is built upon.
Absolutely, and I'm also a very big proponent of ranked choice voting, because although it's not true, you constantly hear this spoiler argument that, mm-hmm. I can't vote for this person because what if this happens?
Right.
You know, it's totally fictional, but something like a ranked choice voting, you can't even use that excuse. You're allowed to vote for what you actually believe in under some sort of a ranked choice voting. So I 100% agree with you on that. How do you feel about ranked choice voting, Steve?
Oh, it's so essential. The first time I think I heard about it was Ralph Nader's run for the presidency, and he talked a lot about it. It really, really educated me as to the need for
having really not the winner take everything and all, but proportional representation for the amount of support different viewpoints have in an election cycle. It's only right.
Now, Chris, you had originally reached out to me about a totally different but still slightly connected show concept about American Water and all of the money they spend lobbying.
Yep.
And here in New Jersey, it would be New Jersey American Water. And do you want to talk a little bit about that? And then we'll get around to talking about locally here, Norcross, and his connections with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember precisely when New Jersey American Water came rolling through in the state, but I do vaguely remember, and I was actually trying to look up some of it before we started the show here tonight. I do remember seeing an article back during the Christie administration about how that they had just won this big contract in the state, and I can only help but think to myself, you know, okay, like, how much money are they really throwing around? And I went and I looked at a great resource if you really want to take a look at money and politics is opensecrets.org. Now, unfortunately, they don't really have they don't have any information regarding state expenditures, but they keep very good tabs on federal expenditures, and unfortunately not on dark money because you can't see it. But with the federal expenditures page, they routinely throw around not nearly as much as you would think from some of the bigger players, like you think like Koch, Sheldon Adelson, you know, these guys that throw on hundreds of millions of dollars per election cycle. But it's definitely, I mean, it's in the hundreds of thousands, and you can definitely see their influence because they, if you look at American Water, it is a truly nationwide water privatization conglomerate. They recently signed an agreement to purchase Roxbury Township, which is up in Morris County, their water supply company. I'm seeing an article here, August 9th, New Jersey American Water signs agreement to purchase Roxbury Water Company. They have Camden. They have, obviously, here in Somerset County, I think pretty much almost all of it. To me, it goes to what Dr. Fenichel was speaking about before. It's you know, your clean air and your clean water. Why does something like our water supply, which is truly part of the commons, it's part of everything that we all need, why do we have to introduce a profit motive to that? The only way that it's happened is because of their ability to influence policy, because that's the only way that something like this, which was a truly public infrastructure, can be taken over. It's through influence over policy. So it's definitely a pure illustration of exactly the kind of problem that we're seeing with money and politics in general.
And we actually do have something here in New Jersey that was passed not too long ago. I think it was within the past 10 years that was called the Water Infrastructure Protection Act, which is basically a privatization fast track.
Okay.
Where they say if there's any sort of pressing issue with the water system, then they're allowed to sell the water to a private entity without any sort of public referendum or public input. And we were actually fought against New Jersey American Water or water privatization in Atlantic City. And we're trying to put in place preemptive, like, we should have an ordinance about this if you're trying to sell their water. And they have used that in New Jersey a number of times. And which does bring me to the big bad that we always have to talk about when talking about New Jersey American Water is the Norcross family. Are you familiar with the Norcross family, Chris?
Only became a little bit more introduced to their exploits over the last couple years, but I can always learn some more.
All right, Steve, I know you're well aware of the Norcross family down here. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, the dawn, if you will, of the Norcross enterprise is a, I don't know what he is, maybe a realtor or something, but his name is George Norcross. And George Norcross has, under his influence, as far as I understand, 6 South Jersey senators, one of which is Jeff Van Kirk. He does provide major union contributions. Oh, he's a union guy, I think. He does provide major union contributions. When he blows the whistles, the workers have to ante up their money. And it's been very influential, giving him pretty much the ability to control one part of the New Jersey government, the New Jersey State Senate. And with the state senators, they usually have their little quislings of assembly people underneath them who basically take their marching orders, at least in the second or the first legislative district where Van Drew is. He's got 2 assemblymen who really look to him for what to say and what to think. So Norcross, I'm not sure of his water connections, but in fighting the pipeline through the Pine Lands, I became very aware of Norcross having, I believe, some significant investments of land in the Marcellus Shales, where the fracking occurs. And he made certain that he was able to corrupt the New Jersey Pine Lands Commission by having them revote after they followed their oath of office to protect, preserve, and enhance the Pine Lands. He was able to get some of those commissioners who had served long after their terms had expired to be removed when they voted to preserve, protect, and enhance the violence. And thereby, Van Drew was able to put the nail in the coffin by getting his local quisling in our community, Robert Barr, who was his assistant, his legislative assistant, to be nominated to the Pine Lands Commission. And that meeting was the most unseemly. They didn't have the votes, so they kept, Sweeney kept working it until he did. Now, it goes against the protections of the Department of Environmental Protection, which Christie was able to neuter, and also went against the BPU, in that the BPU actually mandated that the ratepayers would pay for this pipeline through the Pine Lands. And that's really the muscle of what a party boss in a very corrupt system can do. That's my understanding.
So, Chris, you were also saying that Philip Norcross does receive some money from American Water as well, right?
Don Norcross, yeah, he does. They do spread their money around New Jersey pretty substantially, and it's across party lines, and that's another thing that we have to keep in mind about money in politics and a lot of these donor entities. They're spending money cross-partisanly. Like, it doesn't matter as long as they get policies enacted that benefit themselves. Just here in New Jersey alone, on the donor list for American Water, Rodney Frelinghuysen, Frank Lobiondo, Don Norcross, Frank Pallone, Donald Payne, then as far up as Senate, Senator Cory Booker is on their donor list as well. So it's like we see, it's that's kind of sort of the pervasive poison of it. It's that it essentially sees no party color, right? As long as you see green, it doesn't matter if you're red or blue.
Exactly. And you also earlier, Dr. Fenichel, you were talking about the military industrial spending. And you, I believe, also said that Norcross takes quite a bit of money from Northrop Grumman as well, right?
Yep. Yeah, he's on the donor list of Northrop Grumman and Boeing. They're two of his top 10 contributors. Again, on opensecrets.org here.
opensecrets.org. Everyone, you should check that site out because it'll show you exactly what we're all talking about here tonight, how much money goes into politics. Like, I think a lot of people don't even really comprehend the amounts of money that are being spent to take our democracy from us.
Absolutely not.
All right, it's about time for me to start wrapping up. I'll give you each a chance for a last word. Steve, do you want to do a last word?
Yeah, shall I do the last word or the first last
word? You can do the first last
word. All right, I'll do the first last word. It's really great to have like-minded people in this most critical of all issues that threatens not only our health, but our entire fragile planet. I just read, I believe it was yesterday, that the DNC has just agreed to accept fossil fuel contributions, which, is there no shame? is there no shame? I mean, if you don't have a good self-image as a politician yourself, what about some concern for your children and your grandchildren and future generations? It's not at all in their calculus. And I really thought that it would be an easy message to convey as an independent. But it's great that I have Heather by my side because it really is pretty much a forest with no one here or there to hear the sound of any trees being felled one by one. So hopefully, people will begin to see. Because the debates, for instance, Chris, that Stockton is having a big one on October 10th, and the only candidates invited are the Democrat and the Republican. And that debate will be very exciting because neither of them will talk about limiting the dirty money influence. Neither of them will talk about, regulating and controlling guns with a federal law and not just state by state, which allows laxer states to provide weapons of death to states that have higher requirements. I mean, it's just amazing. And I was denied the right to be a different voice from two vantage points. The first is, and this is something that you find as an independent, it's a very, very, it could really be discouraging if you allow it to discourage you. But the two criteria are a campaign war chest of at least $6,000 and proof that you've already spent $5,100. And then it also requires you to poll at 7% in their poll, which will come out before the debate, where they don't even know your name. So that's, and this is Stockton, whose mission is to educate the next generations. At Stockton is the William Hughes Foundation, which is a foundation of the congressman that used to represent this area, William Hughes. And their mission is to educate and inform voters to make the wisest decisions possible. And it just goes to show you how meaningful those mission statements are at the end of the day. So hopefully, the ice will crack or maybe something will happen where the existing candidates are found guilty of something that requires them from resigning from the race. But other than that, it's a beginning, and hopefully someone like you will take the baton for another run in the very near future. And I'd do everything I could, as long as I could still get around, to help your campaign.
All right, Chris, go ahead. Do you want the last word here?
Sure, and I just really appreciate taking the time with Dr. Fenichel, and I applaud the campaign that you're running and what you're doing. I just really think that this issue and this fight needs to be a concerted people's effort, not unlike the first American Revolution. And it sounds hyperbolic, but we're really fighting against the same enemy. The first American Revolution wasn't fought against just a crown. It wasn't fought just against taxation without representation. It was fought against a concentrated wealth and power through the giant multinational corporation of the time, which was the East India Trading Company. Everyone stood up and recognized the economic dominance and the policy dominance that that corporation, that concentration of wealth, was having over society. And eventually it got to the point where you had to stand up and cast off that dominance, that tyranny, in order to provide safeguards for your future prosperity, to paraphrase the Declaration of Independence. And we need to get people on that page. And what actually inspires me, and it kind of comforts me in this situation, is that I have spoken to people who we would consider to be on the far right. I've spoken to Tea Partiers. I've spoken to libertarians. I've spoken to fellow democratic socialists on the left, centrists, not so much them, but I've spoken, people genuinely and generally recognize that the government is corrupt. Our economy is rigged because of this issue of money and politics. And it's going to come to us talking to one another, approaching people who we might feel are on the opposite side of the spectrum, and really saying, speaking about these issues in terms of, well, do we really have the freedom to change this? Do we really have the freedom to go into a voting booth and decide the outcome of our elections, and therefore the direction of our society, just by voting? Or is it coming down to who is being funded and who's doing the funding? People recognize that, and it is inspiring. And I think that if we keep pushing, if we keep pushing the envelope, if we keep educating people that this really is the problem that we have to focus on, it is truly the issue to end all issues. If we could do that, if we can keep that head strong and concentrate all of our effort, all of our time, all of our energy into that one arena and into that one cause, then I believe that that is where we will be able to finally overcome this next wave of tyranny that we face today.
I love that. That's a great way to end the show. Thank you guys so much. It's been a great conversation with both of you. You both, make sure you get me anything that you want me to put in the show notes. We'll link all that stuff in the show notes, any organizations that you're supporting. Maybe we can even get that policy that you were part of writing, Dr. Fenichel, and get that on with the show notes.
Take through my papers, and I will get a copy to you and to Chris.
I would love to see that. Yes, please. Yeah.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us tonight. And on the subject of money, we also do not take any corporate money here at New Jersey Revolution Radio. We're backed entirely by the people, donors like yourselves, and we need help keeping this show going. It costs us about $25 a week to keep the network on the air. And so we need you guys to help us out. Go under our website, click on the contribute button. We have PayPal, Venmo. You can support us on Patreon. If you give us $10 a month and we give you some special thanks and call outs on one of the shows, and we really need your help. And if you like this kind of thing that we're doing here, you're not going to hear about dark money on the traditional news channels. It needs a different sort of voice to bring that out. And we hope we can do that for you here at NJRR, and we need your help doing it. Everyone, thanks again for listening. The future's yours to create. Go out there and create it.